everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 445. This is the Little Helper edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. This is going to be a great show we got lined up for you today. The Caffeination Podcast is all about caffeine culture and technology news, everything in between. Hopefully you are having a fantastic week. This is the last week of my paternity leave, as 3 weeks ago we had a wonderful little girl, or well, 2 weeks and some change, we had a wonderful little girl named Amber. And she's currently helping me on today's episode. Not the cat that you hear in the background, but rather she sat with me while I was doing all the different kinds of research and everything. And literally just put her to bed because she started snoring on my shoulder. And yeah, you can tell she's my kid. That's all I'm going to say. All right, we have a great lineup for you today. We have a whole bunch of fun stuff, from zombies to hard-hitting news like talking about the Chevy Volt, to a little Apple fun here and there, some Hulu love, some Legos, and of course lots of wonderful coffee and food related stuff at the back end of the show. So if you sit tight, you will hear almost everything that's pretty crazy and cool that's going on here. Alright, if you are looking for this episode, it's lovingly nestled along with all of its friends, all of its little episodic buddies, and they are all over at www.caffeination.com. If you are looking to send comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, anywhere, anything else, please feel free to do so at caffeination@gmail.com, or you can dial right into 215-240-1319. That's our voicemail for the Caffeination podcast, or twitter.com/@caffeination. There's so many other things, and they're all listed over at the website. So the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. What that means is that the Caffeination, like so many of the other shows that are out there, but like all of the shows at the Tech Podcast Network, has agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational stuff, and everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. All right, you're still going to have to excuse me just a little bit. My brain is probably running on around 3 to 4 cylinders out of the available, I don't know, 6. We'll just say I'm a 6-cylinder right now, but it's kind of interesting. I forgot exactly how much sleep one does not get with a newborn. So we have a decent amount of stuff that we're going to talk to you about, and then head you right out on your way. However, I would like to make mention of the fact that the Caffeination is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Now, the economy has been pretty rough on everybody, and companies of all sizes have to find new ways to cut costs. They're trying to move their budget around, trying to get by with the business of actually doing business without spending every dollar that they're trying to earn. You know what I mean? So every dollar saved helps the bottom line in the end. That's why I'm recommending a web conferencing solution for your business. Helps improve overall business communications and efficiency, and that is GoToMeeting, which is brought to you by Citrix. You can reduce your total time on the road by presenting, training, or demonstrating everything online. You can improve your conference calls by collaborating in real time and sharing your screen so that everybody sees what's on your computer on their desktop. I've used GoToMeeting, and it's unbelievable. No matter where anybody who's attending the meeting is from, if they're from right next to you in the office next door, if they're from down the street or across the country, it does not matter. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings absolutely free. For it, please visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. All right, I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of awesomeness that we're trying to do here. We have a great show, like I said, lined up for you, and we figure that the best way to talk about a great show is actually probably to get on down to it. Just remember to head on over to the Summer of Podcasts contest homepage over at podcastmadness.com and see who all is releasing their codes for this week. This is the last week that I believe that we're doing individual codes for individual shows. And then we're going to be moving on to a bunch of other awesome stuff. So if you'd like to win fun and prizes, head on over to podcastmadness.com. All right, we're going to dive right on into the food and caffeinated bits a little bit later on. Right now, we're going into the Geek Cruft as per usual. I'd like to thank Brandon for sending in an email recently. He said, most baby monitors operate at 49 megahertz, unlicensed band. Being unlicensed, you find all sorts of other things are there too, like kids' walkie-talkies, random data transfers, which must be low speed. I imagine 600 or 1200 baud, as phase change and RF don't generally mix too well. Well, thank you very much, Brandon. I'm not entirely sure exactly what I heard. The baby monitor, which you can hear right here, the wonderful sound of ocean and static and all other kinds of fun things. We have an interesting one. It's called Baby Call Rechargeable. It has over, it has three different channel selection options. So you can go red, yellow, green, on three different channels, which allow you, you know, a total of, I think, 27 different, modulations that actually change how the two things interact. We've gotten the standard cordless headset on a couple of them, but for some reason on the last show, I was able to pick up a what sounded like a modem connecting. I mean, the entire thing through onto the handshake and everything, and it connected. That it went through, and the only thing that I could think of was that it sounded almost exactly like a 14.4 modem handshake. So it's possible that it could have been a 1200 or a 600, because I'm not really familiar with them, but for the longest time, Temple had in operation the a bank of modems, that you, which Temple's where I work, actually, so that you can actually dial in and connect to the stuff directly if you didn't have any other way. They recently shut them down. I think it was either the beginning of this year or the end of last, but that sound, for some reason, The 14.4 modem handshake is stuck in my head, and that's pretty much what it sounded like. I am up to all different kinds of ideas, and believe me, if it ever happens again, I'm going to do my best to tape it, because people think I'm nuts, more so than usual. But thank you very much for your comment. We have a bunch of other people who wrote in as well, just talking about the different things that they've heard on their baby monitors, from conversations from next door neighbors, including, you know, things like, you know, hey, I can't believe XYZ did something today. It's kind of hard to talk about these things, but it's interesting to see the different things that are overheard on baby monitors. And one of the funny things about these houses, the house that I currently live in and the house I grew up in, one of the selling points for these houses was originally that they were all equipped with an in-home intercom. Unfortunately, it was removed from almost every single one of the homes that I've ever been in. I think I've only ever been in one of the homes that actually had it intact and working. And, you know, that would be really awesome, because you just click the button on the intercom in whatever room the baby's in. You'd be like, okay, this is always on for right now, and you could lock it on. And then depending on what other room you were in and which other room had the receiver, I think usually the kitchen had the main panel. You'd be able to hear all kinds of different things, and you'd be able to, you know, wake your kids up from downstairs. So that'd be all kinds of cool. But I can't remember if I'm just imagining this or if we actually did have it in the house where I grew up when we first moved in, and then my father removed it. But you can see all the different places in the walls where the panels used to be around here. I'm pretty sure I could probably still find the bundle of wires nestled deeply in the wall too. So none of them are powered, but they were all just, you know, from point A to point B. So there's a giant bundle of wires somewhere in here. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is from over at Crunch Gear. Amazon reveals a new Kindle, $139 for a Wi-Fi version, $189 for 3G version. It's new, it's sleek, it's grayer, and apparently it works a lot better. So it's 21% smaller, 15% lighter, and it's down to 8.5 ounces. And there was a great quote that I heard on here somewhere. It says Jeff Bezos basically was talking about the Kindle versus the iPad and says, you know, you're never going to improve Hemingway with audio clips. And he's basically saying that the Kindle is what it is. It does what it's supposed to do, and it does it well. Most people prefer reading on the Kindle to reading on the iPad, although I have only ever seen two iPads up close and personal. I can't really compare one to the other. So if you have a Kindle and an iPad, please let me know which produces less eye strain. You know, it's kind of interesting to see the different things that are out there, the different applications. I'm really kind of a fan of the old paper pulp version of the experience. I like being able to reread and share my books and everything. So if a situation comes up where I've had pretty much proviso going all the way through my enjoyment of e-ink displays and all everything else, I said, if I can scan my library and say, okay, this is the UPC symbol of all the books that I own, can I read them on your device? If there's ever a way for me to incorporate my existing library into something like that, I would gladly jump at the chance and do that, just because I have so many cool books and I keep forgetting where they all are. But on the other hand, you know, I understand the problems with that. You just walk through a library and scan every book. So, I mean, Who knows what the answer, if any, to that would be. But I'm pretty sure that focusing so much on DRM is what's basically killing a lot of these different movements for people like myself. But it's kind of interesting. I can't wait to see what the new price point actually does for the thing, but it's going to be interesting. All right, up next, Chevy Volt actually has a price tag as well. This one's going to be approximately $41,000. It ain't easy being green, so I'm going to use the stereotypical news tactic of bad pun after the story to hopefully connect with the audience. But really, seriously, whenever you're trying to be green, whenever you're trying to be more ecologically minded, people must think that you have much, much deeper pockets, because they keep putting out these gadgets and putting out these fantastic technology. I mean, I got to tell you, the Chevy Volt would be exactly perfect for this family. 95% of our driving is, maybe 32 miles round trip a day. I mean, that's all told. So that would be well within the 50 mile or 40 mile range on just electricity alone. So it would be perfect for us. It would probably save us a ton of money in gas, but there's no way I can justify the cost of a regular sedan at $41,000. It's just not going to jive. But the funny thing was that there's actually a little jab at the end of the story over at Ogizmo, and it says, hope GM solved that rumored issue where touching the Volt in the wrong place caused the car to dramatically lose acceleration. Updates, it looks like they just stuck a bumper on the front and back, and it worked, and that was a workaround. So a little jab at the iPhone there. I'm not entirely sure if it's from over at Ogizmo, if it's from the community at large, or if somebody else put the joke out at anywhere else, but I think it's pretty funny, so I wanted to share with the group. All right, for some reason the cats are attacking me, so I apologize if you can hear their cries halfway through this. But all right, next thing we got up for you here is Darth Vader's crime spree. Now, Photoshop is fun for absolutely everybody, but Darth Vader is being Photoshopped into all other kinds of manner of interesting images throughout history, from the Last Supper to Smokey and the Bandit to popular mob photo scenes. So I just wanted to share with the group because I thought it was pretty much that awesome. Next little thing from, again, over at Technobob, same as the last story, but the RC Flying Millennium Falcon does the Kessel Run in just under 12 days. All right, I'm going to put a moratorium from here on out. Anytime you have a product that has the Millennium Falcon, I don't care what it does, I don't care how fast it is, stop using the stupid Kessel Run joke. It is worse than all of the news media trying to put, it's so cliche, it's so hackneyed. The movie is, I don't even know, 30 years old, 30 plus years old. Everybody and their mother has used that joke whenever anything with the Millennium Falcon has come up. Please, please find new material. I know it might be daunting, I know it might be a little scary out on the ledge all by yourself, but the funny thing is that true geeks among the listeners will even say that the original quote where they said the Kessel Run was done in X number of parsecs doesn't even make sense, because the parsec is a distance measurement, not a time measurement. So if the Kessel Run is actually from point A to point B, it's always going to be that many parsecs. You know what I mean? All right, so we're going to move along here to another little bit of awesomeness from over at SpriteStitch.com. They found a great store that releases one t-shirt per day. I mean, it's just like T-Fury, but this one's called Rip It, Rip T Apparel. Apparently, a couple days ago, they had a gorgeous line drawing of a turtle with wings to make it look like a Koopa Troopa. I love this thing. I really, really, really wish that they would keep these kind of things around. I mean, I understand the kind of niche marketing for a lot of these t-shirt companies, but on one hand, it's like, okay, yes, we're spreading the news about these shirts and people are coming over and we're trying to build a community around it. That's fantastic. But when a truly awesome design comes around and somebody sees it like a week later, you're completely eliminating the quote-unquote long tail aspect from anything you do online. So a lot of the cool images that that you're putting up there can only exist on your site beyond the first day. It doesn't really, there's no actionable item after that. It's kind of sad. So it's basically wasted bandwidth, if you really want to think about it that way. All right, moving right along, an awesome little link to Zombie Mario. Thank you very much from Norbert Davis over at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. It's over at totallycooltech.com. He gave me a link to a series of cosplay where it's Mario, Luigi, Princess, and I think Toad that are all dressed up zombified. It's kind of funny. They're all really, really well done. The only thing that I actually have a problem with is that Luigi has a black mustache with a scraggly kind of like heavy metal Static X beard. I mean, the costumes are dead on. Princess Peach looks right. Mario looks right. But for some reason, Luigi is sticking out as somebody who's just, you know, maybe like somebody from a heavy metal band just got lost horribly and ended up in a photo shoot for zombies because, you know, he thought it was cool. Everybody else looks fantastic, but that one just seems a little bit off. All right, next thing that we got up for you here is a great, great, great video. This is probably one of the coolest videos that I've seen in I don't even know how long. It's from over at cubiclebot.com, but it is a slow motion filming music video slash thing of a flamethrower versus a fire extinguisher. Two gentlemen pull up of questionable genetic heritage, and again, fire these at each other, and it's the song is called Ritalin, and it's from a band called Dancing Pigeons. So there you go, here you are. If you like slow motion photography and you love flamethrowers, I mean, the whole George Carlin thing immediately comes to mind whenever I hear a flamethrowers. You know, flamethrowers would never have gotten off the ground, except he's like, you know, I have this fire and I'd like to throw it on those guys all the way over there. So if that the guy who thought that up didn't have a friend who was good with tools, so every time I see that, I immediately make the link back to George Carlin. But it is beautiful to see some of the slow motion photography in this, and the music's not half bad. It's not, you know, earth shattering. It's not going to break any kind of record barriers or anything there, but it's kind of interesting to see. All right, next little thing we got for you here is Hulu less popular, or are the numbers just plain wrong? There's a lot of stories that have been pushed out recently that says Hulu viewers have dropped 45% according to ComScore. Well, here's the funny thing. Most people are leaving off the end thing according to ComScore, and ComScore actually has recently changed what they call their ComScore methodology. So basically, when you make numbers up and you start ranking people based on, you know, arbitrary traffic levels or anything else, and then you start releasing lists on, okay, this person dropped this much, this person dropped that much, and you're trying to reorganize. If you're changing the methodology behind the listing in and of itself, the comparison from one month to another is moot. It's ridiculous. It's unless you want people to take all of the other evaluations of anything you've ever done and throw them right out the window because you didn't know what you were doing in the first place. And if you're going to put that out there and say, okay, yes, you know, ComScore, Nielsen, Quantcast, whatever you want to have, there's lies, there's damned lies, and then there's statistics. Mark Twain said it best, but if you really want to look at it and say, okay, fine, so if everything that you've done up until this point is completely and utterly wrong and we cannot compare them except to compare them to each other, then why would we listen to you on anything in the future? But that's just me. All right. Next little thing from over at SlipperyBrick.com. We have Lego headphones. A gentleman actually found a way to everything but the metal clips and the over-the-head band is completely done with Legos, to the point where it's not just like some hack job where they're gluing pieces together and everything fits. No, these are actually a series of Lego blocks that actually make the pivots for the headphones. Apparently, they're very, very durable. He throws them and tossed them around in a bag, I guess a school bag or something like that, and they continue to work. And the best part is, if you have to work on the insides, you can just take the bricks apart. I like how he actually used, except for one little green piece that I can see, kind of one offending green piece. Everything else's primary colors, the red, green, and the blue. So that's kind of fun to see. It's a rather interesting design choice there. All right, next little thing we got up for you here. Panasonic gets a gold star for product design, earphone packaging design. The easiest way to say it is that they have a great little clamshell packaging, and it has the two little earbuds, each one facing to the left, so the earbud is off to the left, and then they have a little bar up at the top so that it looks like a music note, black music note, where the actual bottoms of the music note itself, the stereotypical, you know, I guess that's an eighth or it's an eighth or a 16th note. The stereotypical little bar with the two little notes in and of themselves are the actual headphones. So it's fantastic. There you go. I don't even know anything about them. I just think the packaging's cool as well. All right, now the next little thing, which is going to be music to a lot of other people's ears, is that it's great that the iPhone, it is now legal to jailbreak. Well, it's actually now legal to jailbreak any cell phones, because there's a whole different... Copyright Office has released a statement basically granting 6 exemptions regarding the circumvention of access control technologies. What that means in plain English is you're now allowed to do more stuff with the stuff that you already paid for. So basically, there's 2 different stipulations that says computer programs that enable wireless telephone handsets to execute software's applications where circumvention is accompanied by the sole purpose of enabling interoperability with applications when they have been lawfully obtained with the computer programs on the telephone handset. I have no clue what all that means, but basically that they can no longer attempt to charge you a $2,500 fine for jailbreaking your iPhone. There you go. You can eat, drink, and be merry. The other funny thing is that it's now possible to circumvent the DRM for DVDs and for portions of video. So you can, it's really kind of interesting. The only thing is there's no note on what, if anything, you can do for DRM with music. So again, I'm stuck with the problem of having a ton of iTunes music that I don't want to buy an iPod to play them on. So, all right, that about wraps it up here for the Geek Cruft section at the Caffeination Podcast. We have a bunch of little funny things in the food and caffeinated bits, and then we will head you out on your way. Just a quick little reminder, you can find this over at www.caffination.com, caffeination@gmail.com for all the comments, feedback, suggestions, and hate mail. You can get us on Boxy and Roku, as well as a whole bunch of other different things from the Tech Podcasts channel, and we are at twitter.com/caffeination. All right, up first, everybody keeps saying, sending me this, so I want to report on it, but this kind of speaks to one of my big pet peeves lately. This is a robot that can flip pancakes. Yes, it is awesome. The robot itself is learning to flip pancakes. The funny thing is that in a lot of the videos, they show you using an artificial pancake, which I actually think is hilarious, because, I mean, seriously, it doesn't matter if a couple pancakes were harmed in the making of this. So, yes, they have a robotic pizza maker out there, and they now have a robot that can flip pancakes. You know, I understand that. I think that's awesome, but can it deep fry them? Because that's the next story from over at thatsnerdalicious.com. There's an insane person out there who found a way to deep fry pancakes. Well, they didn't find a way necessarily, as they actually just deep fried some pancakes. It's pretty much, I think we've pretty much run the gamut with things that you can deep fry now. I mean, I've even seen deep fried Coke, which is basically just dribs of Coke syrup deep fried. I don't even know how you'd work that out. Maybe you mix them into some kind of batter and drop the whole ball in. I don't even know. But I've seen it. They're at state fairs everywhere, so now you can get your own deep-fried pancakes. They look just kind of like an Egg McMuffin, which is actually kind of a little bit disturbing. Next little thing that we got up for you here is the perfect portion scale from over at Gizmo.com. A tiny little scale which costs roughly $60. Now, before you jump off a bridge at that price, just think. This is a digital scale that you can drop whatever you want on a nice little clean plate. And the funny thing is that it has 99 custom entries that are already in there, has a built-in database of over 2,000 different foods, and it gives you the nutritional information for the different foods. Now, here's where it's almost perfect for perfect portions. Rather than having all this information and the display capability and everything on the thing, rather than doing that, if they enabled it to have a Bluetooth connection to a cell phone, like my Droid actually has an application on there called by a company called Fat Secret or something like that, where you can actually scan the barcode on something, get all the nutritional information on it, and just keep a track of what you're actually using for the day. I think it's called Calorie Counter or something like that. But could you imagine actually using that application in conjunction with a device that's tiny, small, portable, and Bluetooth accessible to actually be able to weigh the portions of what it is that you're trying to do? That would be fantastic. And it would probably cut down on some of the price, because they wouldn't have to put an LCD scale in there. But you know, hey, all you have to do is type in like basically the supermarket code, and this thing can pull up a whole ton of different stuff that you can actually have. The funny thing is that they actually show the product image as having raspberries and blackberries on there, and you're not going to find one product nutritional fact database entry for having both of those things on the scale. You have to kind of compartmentalize things, you know what I mean? All right, that about wraps that one up. Why would you need to save a beer? I'm not entirely sure, but from over at thatsnerdalicious.com, they now have a review of something called the Beer Saver. Basically, it's a silicone cap that goes over the top of your beer bottle that allows you to save whatever you did not imbibe into your fridge, freezer, wherever else you happen to be going. The only place I could really see this actually being useful is if at a picnic or something like that, or if you're working outside and there's a lot of flies or something, some other kind of malfeasance flying around. You know, just put a little silicone cap on it. It might be nice to just, you know, as a way to kind of seal it off from the external environment. But, you know, they're small enough portions it is. Come on, folks, give beer a good home. Of course, only if you're legal age to do so. All right, now next little thing that we got up for you is... how do others do iced coffee? I've already talked about how I do it, and there's actually going to be a video probably next week on how I actually create iced coffee, which is different from what some other people do. This is cold brewed iced coffee, which is what I'm going to do. However, the wonderful James Hoffman from over at Jim7.com, actually, he's a champion barista. He gives his take on how he actually goes about creating iced coffee. Now, this is a little bit different because he actually does brew the coffee in a French press. He uses it incredibly strong and double filtered to actually produce a much finer suspension, I guess you would say, over everything. And he gives loving descriptions along the entire way. So if you have a couple minutes, I would highly suggest you actually head on over there and read it. Anytime you get to see somebody else's methodology for making something that you like, it has the opportunity to kind of open your eyes and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I should try it like that. Maybe it'll work a little bit better than the way I'm doing it. All right, and then the last little article that we got for you here is from over at CoffeeNate.com. Unfortunately, Nate's laptop's broken, so he can't produce any more of his awesome videos. However, he is putting a whole bunch of pet peeves out online. He has five different often abused coffee terms, and I strongly agree with him on every one of these. He says, overused are strong, dark, bold, acidity, and espresso. I would also add in French on that one, Nate. Because I have heard more things that determines, well, what flavor is this? Well, it's French roast. No, that's a roast level. What flavor is it? Well, it's French flavored. No, French isn't a flavor, okay? French is a country. French is a whole bunch of other things. There is French press, but there is not French flavored. So, but you know what? Espresso is another one of those things where you hear espresso is a roast level. Espresso is actually a specific kind of bean. It's a method of actually making something, or actually rather, espresso is the beverage that is created through a very specific method. So you cannot say something is espresso without having gone through a certain process. You can say it's a whole bunch of other different things, but espresso is not one of them, unless it is actually extracted through under pressure, I think. I forget if there's a specific amount of pressure, but, you know, hats off to Coffee Nate for actually eyeballing all these different little often abused terms. And then I was curious if anybody had actually watched the video of Caffeination Cooks, which is how I do the coffee steak. I want to do more of these, but better, and I really do mean a lot better. I want to actually see if I can set up a tripod and actually appear on camera. I know that's horrifying, but still... there has to be a better way of actually doing that without actually looking like a goofball sitting outside with a full complement of people as I make something. And you know, I try and do as much as possible on my own, and until the boy and the girl actually get old enough to actually be my roving camera crew, I think I'm pretty much stuck with what I am. But there's a whole bunch of other things that I'd like to do. Is there any recipes that I actually have listed over at caffeination.com/recipes that you'd be interested in seeing me make? If you have questions or comments about them, I'd love to hear it. And we're trying a whole bunch of other different things out there, so I have a lot of really cool stuff hopefully coming down the pike here. There's and it's not just with the Caffeination Podcast, but it's also with Puzzle Piece Productions, which is the company that actually technically owns the Caffeination Podcast, which is also just me sitting in my basement again. But still, it's a whole bunch of other fun things that I have coming down the road. And thank you ever so much for all of your patience and your just attention for listening in every Sunday and Wednesday night. Thank you so much for doing that. So from all of us here, which is just me, the cat and the dog at this point, because the girly is gone upstairs long since now. So thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.